I'm Mike Goldberg here with you with classical music until 3 o'clock. I'm very pleased today to welcome acclaimed cellist Matt Heimovitz to talk with us today about his new release, Overtures to Bach. Matt, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
I want to start out by asking you a little bit about your past. You made your debut as a soloist with the Israel Philharmonic at just 13 years old, and then your first recording at 17. So you led a much different life than most students of that age. Did that bother you at all, or did it kind of jumpstart your career?
Well, I didn't know any other way of life, so for me it seemed pretty normal, although I did notice that my peers weren't quite getting what I was doing. So it was very abstract, you know, the fact that I'd disappear and go on tour and then come back and have to take a math test. So in that sense, you know, I would start to get a sense that what I was doing was a little bit off the beaten path in this day and age.
And you got an opportunity to study with the legendary Leonard Rose. How did that experience influence your playing at the time and really until this day?
Oh my goodness. Leonard Rose, I mean, just to hear him tune, you know, just to hear him play one note on the instrument was the most beautiful, glorious cello sound I had ever heard. So for me, it was just a model of cello playing. It was real cellist's cellist. And at that time, it was, you know, I was in his final studio for the last couple of years before he passed away. And he was just such a mentor and grandfather figure to me. So, and a model. I mean, I now very likely I teach, you know, at McGill University, very much, you know, as a performer teacher modeled after his career.
I was going to ask you about that teaching career that you have at McGill. How do you approach your, you know, young, very talented students in encouraging them to make a career in the music world today?
Well, each one of them is so different and has such different interests and strengths. And so I try to develop those strengths and work on the weaknesses. And I see my role, you know, to give them as many tools as possible and to much as possible to broaden their perspective, because truly you don't know where you're going to end up. You know, I would never have imagined, as, you know, you were talking about my performances, you know, with Israel Philharmonic, New York Philharmonic when I'm 15 years old, 14 years old, recording early, I never realized that I would end up, you know, playing the music that I play today and the range of genres and new music and the teaching and the diversity of artistic activities that I go through nowadays, and even what it means to be a touring artist and a recording artist today. I mean, even that is evolving so fast, you know, in terms of formats and the accessibility of everything, you know, at everybody's fingertips at any moment in terms of streaming and downloading and social media and all that. So it's such a different world, and you just never know. And so what I encourage my students to do, like, that's the time in your life when you can really invest in yourself and you can really develop those tools. And that's what we work on.
And you've adjusted the way you perform, really. You've reached new listeners by bringing classical music to non-traditional venues like coffee houses, restaurants, nightclubs. What was the driving force behind your decision to go ahead and do these types of concerts?
Well, initially, it was born of necessity. I had just recorded Bach cello suites, and I wanted to go and play them. And it was not possible to do that in the concert hall. So for a solo cellist at that time in 2000. So I sought out these coffee houses, and then, you know, I realized, wow, I was reaching, for the very first time, I was reaching my generation, and I was reaching listeners who had never heard or gone to a classical music concert and classical music aficionados sitting side by side. So for me, it was all very electric and exciting, and so I took it on the road, and it took a life of its own, and I from there, other aspects of it developed, and I realized how important it was to the music that we play, and in a way, going back in time to the sense of intimacy in chamber music and experiencing this music up close.
Well, I think it's really neat that you've kind of combined programming of Bach cello suites, which, of course, are a staple of the repertoire, along with some works by living American composers. I know you're a proponent of new music, and that's what leads us to this new recording, the Overtures to Bach. I know you've commissioned six new works on this album. that serve as preludes to each of the six suites. Tell us a little bit about how you went about this project.
Well, I wanted as broad a variety of composers as I could find with different musical backgrounds. I wanted to really expand the cultural palette that was available to Bach. So he, you know, Bach was synthesizing vernaculars and dance forms from Spain, Italy, France, and Germany, and elsewhere, but all around him in Europe. I wanted to broaden it out to various parts of the world. And in fact, my first call was to Philip Glass, who I have been working with for a few years. And Philip helped mentor me through the project because I had never commissioned six composers all at once like this. And then, yeah, a couple of the composers I knew in advance. Well, the last one, Lilu Kulani, the overture to the sixth suite of Bach, which Luna Pro Wolf's overture really kind of tells the story of the last queen of Hawaii and using Hawaiian chant. Luna is my wife, so I've known Luna for the last more than 20 years. But other composers like Vijay Iyer, I just, you know, we met. I wrote him on Facebook, you know, a message, and he was very excited to work on this project together. Bach was very important to him.
So as we listen to this album, how do these works that you have combined with the Bach actually change how we can listen to Bach's original work?
Well, one thing you realize, I think, with the juxtaposition is that Bach's music is every bit as contemporary and modern as the new works. And I think each piece brings out a different sort of core that is in the Bach. Each overture, each composer has sort of gone to the heart of each of the Bach suites. For example, Vijay really understood that the C major suite, the third suite of Bach, sort of celebrates the tuning of the instrument, the overtones of the instrument. And so Vijay amplifies these overtones through an expanded range and harmonics and other techniques like that, but also through rhythmic overtones and pulsations and meters. And each one of these composers really sort of in different ways gets to the heart of what Bach is trying to do with his cello suite.
Do you feel that the works that you have commissioned here have kind of done the job of bridging that gap between Bach and today's music?
I do. I mean, I think a bridge is a very beautiful way of thinking about it. They bring us back 300 years and they bring what was 300 years ago forward.
I was going to say it's kind of like time travel going back.
It is. Yeah. It is time travel. It's we're close probably to a Star Trek sort of experience, but we're not there yet. And this is about as close as we can get to that.
And you have your own recording label now. What are some of your thoughts as to projects that you might have on the horizon?
Well, we've had the label for 15 years, Oxingo Records, and we now work with Pentatone Records in Amsterdam, and we put out four albums a year now. So, together in collaboration with them. So there's a bunch of things coming in the pipeline, and one of the new projects, but it's going to be not until next fall, is a Russian album. Some sonatas that everybody's familiar with Rachmaninoff and Shostakovich, Prokofiev sonatas, but also going in a variety of with some new funky arrangements of from the Beatles, Back to the USSR, and Pussy Riot, and some other pretty far out music.
And you mentioned Pentatone. You've also put together a series of online videos, which folks that might be interested in listening to this CD, they can go and get more information on this whole project.
Yes, there's in-session videos, so you can get an inside look at what it's like to record, what it was like for me to record these pieces in New York City at the Academy of Arts and Letters. Beautiful sounding room. I've recorded a few albums there, and the composers are there with me working together, and you just get some insight into the back and forth and how these pieces get shaped.
Matt, thank you so much for spending a few moments of, I know you're a very busy schedule, with us today here at WCVE.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you.